by coincidence, funnily enough, I'm getting a dog, a new dog on Saturday. This in a couple of days' time.
So now you'll be checking all the labels.
I will be, yeah. Now I have the expert, the expert insight into what to look out for.
Science on the Menu, a podcast by the European Food Safety Authority.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this episode of Science on the Menu. My name is James Ramsey, and I'll be your host for today's show. So today we're going to talk about an area of EFSA's work that perhaps doesn't get as many headlines as other topics that we deal with, but which is nevertheless represents a large proportion of the total scientific output we do, almost 25% of all scientific opinions that we issue on a yearly basis. We also support, through the risk assessments that we do, a multi-billion euro sector in the EU. And the topic that I'm talking about is animal feed additives. And to talk us through what animal feed additives are, and what our work in that area involves, I'm very happy to welcome to the podcast our animal feed expert and scientist, Joanna Firmino. So, Joanna, a very warm welcome to you. How are you today?
Thank you, James, for having me here to representing the feed team here in EFSA. I'm very good. I'm very glad to be here. This is also a new experience.
Yeah. Well, as I said, we're going to talk to you a bit about the work that we do here in EFSA on animal feed and feed additives. But before we get there, can you just give us a bit of info about your background and how you came to work here at EFSA?
So I'm a biologist by training. I'm specialized in the marine biology and aquaculture.
Marine biology in a coastal country like Portugal is a good...
Yes. Yeah. Now it's the first time, actually, that I'm a little bit more far away
from the sea.
From the sea, yeah.
Well, as I say, it's very nice to have you here, Joanna. What we're going to do to start with, just to give people a bit of an idea about what feed additives are, is explain the work that we do and what feed additives are, perhaps comparing them or highlighting the differences maybe between food additives and feed additives as well, because I think people will be very familiar with food additives, not so much the additives that we use for animal feed. So,
So feed additives, as the word more or less we can infer from it, are additives, so are substances that are added to feed. So feed would be food for animals. This we may be talking about farmed animals or pets, so any animal that will be fed by humans, right? These substances have their objective would be, for instance, to improve nutritional content or quality of the diets. They can also improve the animal health and welfare. This would be important for both farmed animals and pets. Also for performance, which would be a characteristic that is sought for animal production. Or even to improve technological aspects of the diet, of the feed per se. So they will have a lot of functions.
A wide range of applications.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. We have examples, for instance, of amino acids would be an example. Yeah. Vitamins, enzymes, flavorings, microorganisms. So all of those would fall into this category.
To help us sort of navigate a bit through the world of feed additives, we've actually brought some pet food with us to the studio here today. We've distilled them into little jars here. They are treats for cats. I think you're a cat owner,
I am.
Yeah, okay. So you should be familiar with this. Checking the labels beforehand, I saw that the additives included in these treats here are vitamin E and taurine. And that surprised me a little bit. I mean, taurine, people will probably be familiar with this because it's an ingredient that you find in energy drinks for humans. But it's included in this pet food. So can you explain a little bit what that's about and why we would find it in cat treats?
Yeah, in this case, taurine is an essential amino acid for cats. So a little bit to put it into context, amino acid would be the building blocks of proteins, right? And the taurine is essential amino acid for cats, but it's not essential for humans. This means that cats' bodies are not able to synthesize it naturally in a certain amount that allows the cats to be healthy. So physiologically, they cannot synthesize it in a natural way. That's why it's essential, and they have to consume it through their diet. So in the nature or with the raw materials, this taurine is naturally present in animal-based protein.
Okay, so if you're a lion or a leopard or a tiger, you're finding this in your prey.
Right.
Yeah.
In
okay.
the natural diet.
Sure.
Since cats, we are feeding them manufactured feeds.
Yeah.
It can have a high content of animal protein, of course, and in this animal protein there is already this taurine available. But also the processing during the manufacturing can compromise a little bit the levels of this taurine. And if we think about also diets maybe with less value, a little bit less quality, that have more fiber, more carbohydrates, they will have deficiencies in this taurine.
Okay.
So it needs to be supplemented
okay,
as
so
feed
it's
additive.
Intentionally added to
yes,
the food. Yeah.
Because it's essential for their development, for their growth.
Yeah.
It's
okay. Yes. And then there's vitamin E, which I mean, I guess cats like humans require
right.
vitamin.
Right. Yeah. It's a vitamins nutritional requirements for any animal at the end would be this part
yeah.
of.
Okay, so that's an example of feed additive, which is intended to, if you like, improve health, let's say, in general terms. What other kinds of, you talked about different uses or applications or functions of feed additives as well. Can you give us another example?
Yeah, another interesting example, for instance, for me would be those additives that are added to feeds in order to improve or alter the color of the animal products or mm-hmm. animal appearance.
Yeah.
A specific example, for instance, would be carotenes that are added in salmon diets. So salmons in the wild, they have these carotenes, or they can feed on these carotenes in their natural diet that are present in crustaceans, in small fish.
Mm-hmm.
So these carotenes will give them this orange-pink color
yeah.
of their flesh, right? So in the farming system, in aquaculture, for instance, they are not feeding on their natural prey. So these carotenes are added to their diet in order to mimic their natural diet
okay.
and also to mimic the color that the consumer also prefers.
Yeah. Okay. So that would be true both for salmon for human consumption and also salmon that you would find in pet food and so on?
Yes, okay. Because it's part of the standard diets for the salmon yeah. industry. It's part of it. This also happens for the egg yolks, for instance. We have these more yellow egg yolks.
Mm-hmm.
And in terms of pets, we have these colorings can be used for ornamental fish
okay.
to have more bright colors, ornamental
yeah.
birds. Also to have these more flashy colors. So it would be an example of interesting
okay.
additive.
Yeah, great. I think we have an idea more or less of what feed additives are now. So they're used obviously both in the farming systems for agriculture, aquaculture, and also in pet food. Can you tell us then what role EFSA plays in all of this? So where do we step in and what is it that we're doing in the world of feed additives?
Yeah, so feed additives are highly regulated products. What does it mean is that for a feed additive, a product to be marketed and authorized in the European market has to go through a very thorough risk assessment process. And this is when and how EFSA plays a role with the scientific risk assessment of the product. So each product in this risk assessment will be evaluated in EFSA by both by the panel experts in terms of the safety of those products for the target animals, so the animals that will be consuming those products, also for the consumer. So in terms of if an additive that is fed to an animal will remain in the animal when this animal, for instance, is consumed, there's some residues in the meat or in the milk, for instance, would be an example. Also, the safety for the environment. So it's the assessment of the risk that this additive might not be fully metabolized by the animal. So there is a part of this additive that is excreted into the environment and how this can impact the environment. And also the safety for the users or workers that are involved in the manufacturing of those products in terms of industry, the fabric.
So it's really a holistic...
Very holistic One Health approach of the risk assessment. And also the efficacy. So this is one of the points also that EFSA assesses, is if those products are in fact efficacious and comply with their requirements or their claims, the final objective of them before they enter the European market.
So you mentioned there the environment. That's something I wanted to touch on as well, because there's a lot of discourse, public debate about the impact of farming systems, agriculture, on the environment, sustainability issues, particularly in terms of the livestock sector. You were saying before we came on air that there are some feed additives that indeed are intended to address in some way these issues. Can you explain that to us?
Yes, this is a not so new trend, but it's a big concern in terms of sustainability and both in terms of regulation and even consumers' concerns. So it is a trend that is also seen in the feed additive markets. There is some additives that are being proposed to be authorized in terms of diminishing, for instance, this would be maybe a famous example, diminishing the production of greenhouse gases by livestock, by cattle, so the famous cows, burps.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'm allowed to say burps.
Yes, you certainly are. We're not too shy on this podcast.
Yeah. So they aim to reduce this excretion of these greenhouse gases.
Yeah.
There are also others that aim to decrease more nutrition pollution, for instance, phytases. There are enzymes that reduce the output of nitrogen, of phosphorus, of trace elements in the environment. So they also help to reduce this environmental impact.
Okay, so that's another use or application of
feed additives. Yeah, there is several ones. Okay. So to decrease the smells of the farms, there is some...
So I'm starting to see why you guys are so busy here in EFSA with your feed applications. Okay, maybe before we close, just to get a sense of you from you of what the future holds for, I don't know, the sector, the feed additive sector, or I don't know if there are new technologies or products coming on the market in the future. How do you see things evolving?
Yeah, as you started, it is a billionaire market, and it's actually expected to increase. So the predictions that this is increasing. This shows how the market is evolving. And in my opinion, it's also evolving because of those concerns about sustainability, animal welfare, animal health. So there is a lot of subjects that it's not only about maintaining animals, it's also for them to be in their best possible way, and for the sector in terms of animal production, even the pet sector, to be the most sustainable possible. And this goes very much along with the technological advances and also consumers' perspectives. So as long as the technology is evolving and consumers also change their needs or their opinions, the sector will grow alongside with it. Yes, and this is what we are seeing nowadays also with the applications. We are seeing more and more applications for new species, for instance, for llamas, alpacas, like camelids.
Specific application, feed additive applications for alpaca?
Yeah, for different species that are not so common. Yeah. Also for insects, like for bees, feed additives for bees, which is very particular as well.
I can't quite get my head around that. What's a feed additive for a bee then?
I really don't know, James.
Okay. You'd have to look
I
it
know
up.
They exist.
Yeah, okay.
I don't know now a specific compound.
Okay.
but also an increasing of applications for pets.
Okay.
So this is also showing this trend of having people are having more and more pets and are very devoted to them and wanted to give them high quality products. So this is also a trend. I think it goes, you know, with the trend of humans, what is also sexy for humans is then kind
passes
for for animal feed as well. So
more of a focus on kind of quality, the quality for pet food or whatever it may be, in the same way that, I don't know.
I would say quality, precision, sustainability, welfare, health, a little bit those big issues.
Okay. By coincidence, funnily enough, I'm getting a dog, a new dog on Saturday, this in a couple of days' time.
So now you'll be checking all the labels.
I will be, Now I have the expert, you know, the expert insight into what to look out for. Taurine is not an essential amino acid.
Not for dogs. Not for dogs. That's why they can eat cat food without a problem, but not the other way around.
Ah, so cats can't eat dog food?
They can, but they will be missing the taurine.
Okay. Great. We could go on for absolutely ages, I think, Johanna. There's so many sides to this story. I think we have to stop there in the interest of time. Thank you very, very much for your time. It's been really interesting to speak with you. And to all our listeners, I hope you enjoyed the show today. Stay tuned for our next episode, which will be coming up soon. If you want more information about EFSA's work on feed additives or anything else that we do, please check out our website or follow us on our social media channels. For now, that's all, and thank you very much. Goodbye.